is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, hour number two starts right now. The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. It's Barry, Nick, and Joel in studio on an F Yeah Friday in the big city. F for funny. So we are going to have another clip coming up at 2:15 of our Comedian of the Week, as Barry gave you a little bit of the backstory on Jermaine Warren. So we'll catch up on that. If you missed a lot of stuff because you were just, as you should have been, supremely focused on your Houston Astros. There was a football game last night.
Yes.
And not that I was dead on, spot on right about the Chiefs winning by at least 10 points. What I did notice when I flipped over was the fact that Matt Moore was in to start the second half. And I'm like, wait a minute. They're not up that big. What did I miss? So then I did a little search on the phone and I went, oh no, I better do a little bit more research than this. And then I started watching the replay of the quarterback sneak. Patrick Mahomes, if you missed it, was hurt last night. It was a knee injury. A lot of people saying it was a dislocated kneecap. Hard to argue with that when you saw the doctor literally pop it back into place after they had him on the field for a while.
That sounds so awful.
Yeah. But Adam Schefter is reporting that the team is saying they're awaiting the results of an MRI taken today. But if all goes the way they think it went and will continue to go, and there's no further damage, the best case scenario is Mahomes will miss about 3 weeks, but that he really escaped serious damage. In a replay that was kind of tough to kind of decipher, because obviously there's a lot of guys piling on a quarterback sneak, but I never saw, one of the announcers said something about you could see the knee-to-knee contact. I never saw any of that.
Yeah, I didn't either.
I did see, you know, it get twisted a little bit with linemen falling on it and things like that. But thank goodness the guy's going to be okay in the long term, because that's not just for the Chiefs. That's for the benefit of the whole NFL. That's how good he is, obviously.
Yeah, there was this article on ESPN that dropped at 12:24 before we came on the air. That said that the best case, the Kansas City Chiefs received a best case scenario after an MRI showed no damage other than a dislocated right kneecap. That sounds awful.
Mm-hmm.
A dislocated right kneecap. They popped it back in place and then he walked off.
Right.
That none of that sounds good for me. I'm out on dislocating my kneecap.
No, but the interesting thing going forward too is it's much like, and Rockets fans can remember with Luke and Mbamute, but they've always said once you dislocate a shoulder, a knee, a joint like that, that the joint itself becomes loose.
Oh yeah.
And therefore the chances for it happening again are greater and greater with every time that it does. So you would think this is something that they're going to try and manage with a brace and get him through the rest of the season, but it's not something that may not command some kind of surgery or adjustment in the offseason.
Well, he may not be right when he comes. They said 3 weeks, I think, was probably right. What he's going to miss. So he's going to miss games against the Packers, the Vikings, and the Titans. And that's going to be a not an easy schedule for them to go with a backup quarterback. But then he's going to come back. How much soreness, how much is it going to slow him down this year? It may not slow him down long term, but I would imagine if he's got a brace on it or some other, it could lead to him being slowed down a little bit.
Sure.
Not that he can't make plays in the pocket with his arm, because he absolutely can. But that extra dimension that you have to worry about with him is what makes him so special. Same thing with Deshaun Watson. So yeah, it will be interesting to see what the long-term effect is for the rest of the year and then going forward after that. But I imagine he's definitely a guy that's going to have to play with a brace or one of those sleeves on.
Yep, yep.
For good now, right?
Yeah, but good thing that Broncos fans were letting us know how good the Denver team was going into the game yesterday.
It's funny. I recall a couple of those texts on the text line. We're like, you guys don't know what you're talking about. Broncos are a good damn team. Why are you saying they're bad? Oh, I don't know.
Because they suck.
Did you watch last night's game where they put up 60-something yards rushing against a Chiefs front seven that's just a sieve that's given up maybe they have given up the most rushing yards in the NFL this year? I know it's pretty damn close. And for Philip Lindsay,
they only gave up six sacks in the first half, and Joe Flacco once again did what you were expecting to see the opposite of. He can't even throw his way out of a wet paper bag.
71 yards total rushing between Philip Lindsay and Royce Freeman for the Denver Broncos against that Kansas City Chiefs front seven. That's a bad football team. They managed 6 total points. And, I mean, look, you got to play a whole half against the Chiefs without Patrick Mahomes. If you told every team, look, Mahomes, you only have to face him for two quarters of every game, they like their chances.
Yeah.
They did absolutely nothing. They gave up 10 points in the
second half.
They're
a bad football team, and now finally, blame, instead of going through head coaches and quarterbacks like a sieve, the blame is starting to get targeted right where it should be, and that's on the shoulders of John Elway. And the fact that John Elway was such a legendary player, and John Elway and the Boland family who own the team are so close, has kind of shielded him from any of the blame in the past. But now people are squarely pointing at John Elway going, most all of this is because of you.
Mm.
And so now, as a Texans fan, I tell you to watch that scenario closely, because I brought up a name earlier in the week that I really think you need to pay close attention to, and that's Chris Harris Jr. Because now, if Elway is going to try and save face, try to get some more draft picks in, I mean, Get Up was talking about trading Von Miller. Okay, before you want to do that, because no matter what you do and how you rebuild, you still need franchise-type players. Look what the Bears did when they traded away Khalil Mack, and don't do that. But if you're going to trade other chips that you have to try and cash in on draft picks and the future, Chris Harris Jr. is free at the end of the year. He's a guy that wants to play for a winner. He's not going to resign there anyway. And you have a trade partner with the Texans who already made a deal with you last year with Demaryius Thomas, where it could be a win-win. You could give up something in the future, middle to late rounds, and you could get back a guy that helps you now while Roby's out, Jonathan Joseph has been terrible, and you're winning, and you need to maintain that defensively.
Again, I don't know about what resources you have or why you would want to trade those. I don't mind going out and going after Chris Harris, but, I mean, if he's going to be a free agent at the end of the year, just make a run at him in the offseason. Why give up something?
Because you need him now. You need him now. With Roby out a month, and the fact that Jonathan Joseph can't guard his own shadow, and Lonnie Johnson's still raw, and you're looking at, you know, bringing in street guys off and on, trying to figure out what the hell the deal is, here's a guy that could come in. He's getting reps every week as a starting corner in this league. He has a very high reputation. You looked at the stats earlier in the week, and he was very highly rated. So, and again, take a Demaryius Thomas situation. If Elway's just looking for picks, I don't think it have to be. If you can give up a fourth or a fifth to get a Chris Harris Jr. for the rest of the season, how do you not want to do that right now?
Because I think you're up against other teams like Philly and KC that they just played. And who else needs corner help besides the Texans?
I think Philly's looking at Patrick Peterson. They really wanted Jalen Ramsey.
But these are all teams that have the resources to be able to trade. They have higher picks because they didn't mortgage their future or have to for a left tackle. So that's part of the problem is you're probably going to get outbid for Chris Harris because you don't have the resources.
My only point is, before you do get outbid, go get on the phone with John Elway
now.
Oh,
I would agree.
And attack it to try and get a guy that can help you when you need it most, because with all the momentum that you've been able to build by not only winning games to get in the position you're in, but also staying close in games that you ended up losing, like the Saints game, to say, hey, there's a lot of positive energy in this building and a lot of people starting to believe. And now with the injury to Mahomes and with a lot of uncertainty across the league, they're starting to say that, you know, the biggest chance to basically be competition for the Patriots starts with the Texans. If you're going to be in that discussion and you're going to go up against a juggernaut like the Pats, you can't go in with a secondary like they have right now. And you have to keep winning football games while you get your injured players back. And that's why I say pick up the phone now and start trying to see what you can do.
All right, so if we were going to bet, mm-hmm. If we were going to say, is he going to be a Texan or not?
Like the other bets that we've made?
But I'm just saying, do you think Chris Harris is going to be a Texan?
I mean, do I think he's going to be a Texan? No, but do I hope that at least I find out that there are reports and everything, that they're in discussions or trying to start discussions? I'd feel better, because then I feel like football operations is where they need to be.
I feel like the Texans have put themselves into a position where they've got to look at guys that have been cut, guys that aren't on a team currently, guys that are on practice squads. I don't think that this team is in the position to start making deals for short-term rentals. I mean, you're basically – you've given up so many draft picks already, and now you're going to give up more for a rental for a guy that's only going to be here.
He may want to resign here. He's played with Roby in the past. He likes a winning culture. Texans have a lot of money under the salary cap, and they don't have a whole – they don't have to sign a draft class.
Wish in one hand, crap in the other, see which one fills up first. You can't take that risk.
You're going to give away draft picks
for a guy that maybe might be here.
Can a pick in the fourth or fifth round that you're saving, can it help you get through the rest of this season while you have so much – your secondary is depleted and it's bad? It can't.
You honestly think that the difference between winning a Super Bowl and not is Chris Harris?
I'm not saying winning a
Super
Bowl.
That's what you have to make the decisions for.
You got to stay in a position of strength to win the division, to possibly get home field, and to keep the momentum in what has been a very, very surprising uptick with this team.
So that you can go get bounced in the first or second round.
You don't know that they're going to get bounced in the first or second round.
Don't we, though?
No. Not right now. Because like we said, you may have given up enough picks to mortgage the future, but you got better in the short term. You got it. So if Bill O'Brien, whether it's a panic button or in win now mode or whatever you categorize it, then as long as he is GM and coach, you would think that he's going to make a couple more moves if he has to continue to stay on this pace.
I would be more on board with your scenario if it wasn't a rental. If he had a year or two left on his contract, then okay.
But then you'd have to pay more.
Go ahead and trade. Okay, but you're giving up draft picks. You're going to have to give up more than I'd be willing to bet you a fourth rounder or a fifth rounder like you're hoping for. You're going to get outbid. You're going to get outbid by other teams that need help.
That's not out of the realm, but that's what. But I'm saying get on it now because your need is now to get someone that can help you in the secondary that's not just someone you pulled off the street. And it behooves them to try. So we'll see what happens. But I just think that if they are truly in win now mode, they got to do something. It's one of those days.
I'm letting you.
No.
I said what I had to say. We just disagree on it, right?
Fine. Yeah. You know what we both don't disagree on? The fact that a lot of people are just worn down by the workforce.
Agreed.
And everything that's going on during the course of the week. And they need a place to get away. But they don't have the time to either take their significant other or their family 3 to 4 hours away, whether it be driving or flying and then all those hassles. You don't have to. You go to the Houstonian. It's right here in your own backyard, located right in the heart of the Galleria. And we talk about it all the time. It's just the amazing getaway that you would think is miles and miles away that's right in the heart of your own city of Houston. 175,000 square foot health club is where you start. Then you talk about 27 wooded acres with all kinds of hiking and jogging trails. You talk about that deluxe luxurious rooms with all the different amenities that make you feel pampered and spoiled and relaxed. Their spa trellis is fantastic. And that is even before we start talking about 4 all-world restaurants and all the different great 3 temperature controlled swimming pools, including one for the kiddos. It's just everything that you can ask for at your fingertips, and you don't have to leave the city to get to it and enjoy it. So whether you're doing it for your significant other or you're doing it to try and find a destination for you and your significant other to just get a quick getaway, it's all right here in the city of Houston. Check it out. All I need you to do is go to Houstonian.com and just watch the video and you'll see what I'm talking about. It's Houstonian.com and it'll take you to all these different things at a remarkable destination right in your own backyard. Check it out. You're not going to be disappointed if you do. The Houstonian is the place to be. It's the perfect place for any staycation when you're looking to get away.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5
and on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
A lot of people like to play the lotto when it's $500 million. Never when it's 10. Who are these snobs? Who's walking in their corner store like, $10 million? Such a paltry amount. Why, I don't know how that could change my life at all. Oh dear, look at the time. My shift work at McDonald's is about to begin.
There you go. On an FEF Friday, F for funny, Jermaine Warren, our comedian of the week. Barry gave you a little backstory earlier in the show, but very, very funny dude.
He is very funny.
Guy that you've known for a while. So you said he's kind of
stepped away a little bit? Yeah, he was in New York for a while. He did Gotham Comedy Live, which aired on Access TV, and then came back. And I don't know how long after he came back, he just decided to take a break from comedy. And it happens, man. It's a grind. I don't think people really understand. And I know it's you know, I'm not looking for sympathy, but comedy can be a grind for many reasons, including mm-hmm. the road work and everything else that you do. So sometimes guys just take a break and then come back to it, and that's fine. So I hope he does come back. He's hilarious.
Too. He's a funny dude. And I mean, I'm glad that people are starting to acknowledge what Nick and I go through. Comedy is a grind, having to deal with comedians that, you know, have schedules and do all the different
things. Damn you, Barry.
I feel like this year I turned down a lot of gigs, and I don't feel like I've been gone as much this year. Now, I'm gone next week.
I think Nick and I both think don't feel like you've been gone as much.
Enough.
As you should.
Have you been less busy? I feel like it's about the same.
Last year, I think I had over 52 paid gigs, whether it be a weekend gig or a one-nighter or whatever. That's one a week. So, I don't know. I'm good at math. But, like, this year it's not nearly been as busy, my schedule, and a lot more in-town work than out-of-town work. But part of that's because of the TV show. Part of that's because of this and the momentum that we had. And, yeah, maybe next year I'll ramp it back up again so you guys don't have to see me.
news of the day for you NBAers that are latching your wagon to the Zion Williamson train.
Oops.
Maybe a little premature, as he's going to miss significant time, they said, due to the injury to the same knee that he hurt when the shoe blew out, that he hurt in summer league. They're not saying it's anything that's major structurally. It's meniscus related. So he's going to miss some time to start the season for the Pelicans. Disappointing, because obviously the NBA was looking to kind of get that marketing juggernaut going, trying to promote a team like the Pelicans. So we'll see how that affects everything in the NBA. But the other thing that Stephen A. Smith reported on this morning, based on some of his Nike contacts, they've told him that this is a time for him to trim down some weight, because they feel like a lot of what's going on with this knee injury being lingering is he may be just a little too big.
He's thick.
Yeah, for that frame, those knees, and the way he springs around.
I could see it.
I could see it too.
What's he weigh?
He's 6'7", 284.
Yeah, he could trim a few.
I told you, while in college, he was the heaviest player in the NBA.
Really?
While in college, he weighed more than any player in the NBA.
Yeah, he needs to trim down a little bit. It'll do him some good.
And you know what? He's still going to jump like that, maybe even, you know, have a little bit more spring. But,
well, and trade some of that fat for muscle,
mm-hmm.
and you'd be better off.
And I think that living that NBA lifestyle, when you're 24/7, have access to trainers and nutritionists and all the different things. Look, I told you, when Dwight Howard was a candy-aholic, when the Rockets decided that that's not going to be the case when you're with the Rockets, and they took off all junk food from airplanes, from locker rooms, so that they made him kind of stick to a non-candy diet that had a lot of really healthy options, and it really affected him in a positive way, because he had been dinged up a lot, mm-hmm. missed some time, and it started to really do some good things for him. So the NBA people, they don't mess around. It's not just, you know, lift weights and go play basketball.
Right.
So hopefully that kind of help him as he gets more acclimated to the NBA organization of the Pelicans. So
somebody said that your painkillers have you sounding like a very aggressive.
You're amped up a little bit.
I am.
But I think it's the coffee, though. I think it's the meds.
I think it's the coffee and the Astros win. He's always pumped on an Astros win.
I am,
win,
and I love when the Astros win. But yeah. I think that, too, that I've dealt with so much from meds to medical all week. And I was doing it all so morning again this morning. And then, you know,
it's got to be frustrating.
It's completely frustrating. And so now I'm running around all these appointments, and I'm not eating. Because I told you guys, really? I'm down like 4.5 pounds, because all you're doing is meds and going, and I'm not hungry. And then I'm like, but I need a coffee.
Yeah.
So then I'm two coffees in when I get to the studio, and I'm like, ooh, this one could be.
It was funny because at one of the breaks, he looks at me and goes, maybe I had too much coffee today.
Yep. No doubt.
Yeah, I don't mind it, though. People like when you get fired up.
Occasionally, yeah.
I mean, not me, but people. Like when you get
we also
fired
have
up.
People that don't like us no matter
disagree.
What we do.
Yeah, that's true. Because then you disagree with me too much. I don't like that. Oh. By the way,
we've got that base covered enough today.
Oh boy, do we? Yeah. Do we? I don't think we've agreed on anything today.
Nope.
But we reached out at the break just to get a gauge, because I couldn't find anything online that talked about what Chris Harris would get on the open market.
Mm-hmm.
And our resident NFL expert at this station, Lance Zierlein, suggested a third. Possibly a second round pick.
He said that
that's expensive.
He said he has value.
Simply, he is 30,
but he said that he's going to have value because of the fact that he's been experienced. He's done it over time. He says, no doubt, look, if the Texans are interested, and if Bill O'Brien truly is in go for it now mode, then Chris Harris would be the perfect fit. He's played with Roby before.
Yeah.
You know, and he didn't disagree that, look, Elway's a guy that's desperate right now, and he may be unloading the cupboard because he knows that his butt's on the line to just try and, if you are going to just press reset, then you better go again and do it now and get something for the guys that are just going to walk out the door. But he, when he said that it was the value was a third, possibly a second,
that's a lot.
That's kind of steep.
Well, and especially when you consider now, and we always forget about this, but it's going to be more than a third, because if he walks, which he will at the end of the year, they'll get a compensatory pick in the third round for him. So they're already guaranteed a third round pick for Chris Harris Jr. So if these teams are coming to calling and saying, hey, we're in win now mode, well, sweeten the pot. I can get a third rounder. You've got to make it better. So it's a third rounder and a fourth rounder, or a third rounder and a sixth rounder, or a third rounder and somebody off your roster. But you're going to have to pay more than just a third round pick for Chris Harris, I believe, if that's what they're going to get for him in the compensatory draft. So keep that in mind as well when you start talking about the price. Now, if it's a second, if you offer up a second, I'm sure they take that. But damn,
oh, yeah,
that's
again,
a lot.
That's
to pay.
When you start going, that's okay, now you may be mortgaging the farm too much. Not that he hasn't
I know Bill O'Brien is all in concerned about this year, but that's why one, this team needs a GM, and two, he's going to dig himself his own hole if he plans on being here for any length of time. If you're mortgaging your future for this year, and they're not winning the Super Bowl this year. Let's be real. They're just not there. That offensive line, as good as it's played, is not good enough to carry them to a Super Bowl yet. And neither is the secondary. Now, I realize you add Chris Harris Jr. and it makes you a lot better.
Mm-hmm. But you still got work to do. And assuming you're going to get Roby back and they've played together, so there's some chemistry there.
You still got work to do on that line.
And I'm not saying that they don't have work to do, but today I just feel like I'm going to be the ray of sunshine for the black cloud that you've just given to Texans fans.
I'm sorry.
I just feel that way.
Okay, that's fine.
So, I mean,
pin it on me. That's fine. I'll be the bad guy this week or today.
Not just today. I was going to say, you know what? If you're talking about things that, you know, might make Texans fans upset, if the fact that you just said they're not going to win the Super Bowl, good things always come when you talk about your friends at GetUpside.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. I'm glad you brought that up. Guys, if you haven't downloaded GetUpside yet, do yourself a favor. Go to your iTunes or Google Play Store, type in GetUpside, all one word, and start downloading it right now while I'm talking to you about it. Because by the time I'm done, you could have it installed and be ready to start getting cash back when you go fill up the tank on your car, or you go make purchases at any of the hundreds of restaurants around the city of Houston and eat out. And look, first of all, GetUpside was mentioned on ABC 13. They did a story on it on their website, which was a really cool story. So if you're looking for some background information and you don't trust me, and you should, I've not steered you listeners wrong yet. There's tons of people out there using it because I suggested it to them, and they're happy about it. I mentioned my pool guy yesterday. He's getting cash back. He's like, bro, I heard you talk about it. I'm getting it. This is great. I'm putting all my friends on it. You should be on this too, especially if you want to keep your money in your pocket. Go read the article on ABC 13. Put it on your phone. Put in that promo code Barry and start living the good life of getting cash back. You can get up to 25 cents a gallon. A gallon. Now, some of you got, you know, 20-gallon tanks, or I'm assuming, on those big diesel trucks. That's a lot of money you could be getting back at over 500 gas stations around the city. Up to 35% cash back on your bill every time you eat out and use the GetUpside app. That's a third of your bill that you could be getting cash back on. Guys, don't leave money at the pump. Don't leave money at the table. Don't be silly with your money. Keep it in your pocket. It's your money. Hang on to it. Go do yourself a favor right now. Download GetUpside. Put in my promo code Barry. Start getting that cash back. Thank me later.
Chill. ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
90 in the books, 90 still to go. Second half of the show, it's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. We were talking a little football before the break. Given little insight. Speaking of insight, Sarah Barshop, the beat reporter for the Texans for ESPN, as she usually does, joins us today at 3:30 p.m. So we have questions. Hopefully she has answers. We want to know when Chris Harris Jr. is arriving. We want to know why Kamie Fairbairn didn't have competition this week. We have lots of questions that we want. And if you have some you want to throw our way that maybe we can work in, feel free to fire them off in this direction.
That is a good question about did they not bring anybody
in? I did not see them bring anybody in this week.
And we need
to
find out. We
missed
answers.
Something there with all the World Series stuff going on.
True, true.
So we can check into that. But obviously, I ask you this. Because,
okay, ask me. I answer you this.
Because I did a video earlier in the week that said, look, whether it be by default or otherwise, the Texans have now become the biggest competition to the Patriots in the AFC. And this game's going to say a lot about whether they maintain that position or if it goes to a team like the Colts, who quietly have done a lot of good without Andrew Luck. So if the Patriots are the cream of the crop in the AFC.
Now, this video was before Patrick Mahomes was hurt.
Yes, it was.
Now, were you on your meds?
Nope. Well, maybe, but still. So what's your answer in terms of biggest competition for the Pats right now? Even before Mahomes got hurt, though. You can say it either way, before and after. I don't care. Because you just went in and beat Mahomes and the Chiefs in Kansas City.
Yeah, I would still say the Chiefs were the biggest threat to the Patriots, followed by the Ravens and then the Texans.
Wow, okay.
Yeah, I mean, just because of... When you look at points scored, points allowed, when you look at what these two teams are doing, I realize the Texans have the offensive line, but they also it's starting to figure it out. They haven't given up sacks in two games, but the secondary is depleted a little bit. And the fact that even when healthy, that's not a good secondary. So, you know, just like the Texans can make moves at the trade deadline, the Chiefs can get better on defense as well. The Chiefs can get better up front. You know, obviously it's a different scenario now when they're looking at missing at least three games without Patrick Mahomes. I don't know what you do there. If you're the Chiefs, you got to make a decision before the trade deadline. Are you going to go for it?
You know the name that's coming up again, don't you?
Who?
Kaepernick has come up again last night and this morning, and they said if anybody's going to do it and be able to pull it off, it'd be Andy Reid.
He's been gone too long now. I think they need to let that go.
I agree with that.
There was a time when that window made sense to me, but I think you got to move past the whole Kaepernick situation just because he hasn't played in so long.
I agree, man.
Yep,
if this
totally
was
agree.
Any other quarterback, no one would be clamoring that he'd be back in the league. When Mike Vick missed time, if Alex Smith were to step away for a couple more years, no one's clamoring for him to come back after two or three years of being out of the NFL. I think that's too long.
And everybody says, well, he's working out. Well, guess what? Everybody works out.
Yeah.
You know, Ray Allen's still working out, but you're going to put Ray Allen in the middle of an NBA game with that much time off. And again, from a football perspective, there's something to be said about the durability and the wear and tear of setting your body up to be hit like that. And when you haven't been hit in 3-4 years, that's a huge adjustment to go back in and feel the contact of that. But it's just like saying, hey, I've been taking BP every day in baseball, but are you taking it off of major league pitching in a game situation?
Yeah.
You know, you're getting jump shots up and playing pickup, but is that pickup the caliber and the level of skill that the NBA is? Or from a football perspective, oh, yeah, I've been working out, but are you taking hits? Are you going through game speed-like action in practice? No. So the Chiefs need someone now. Ready to help them, just like we're talking about Chris Harris Jr. The Texans need someone now to help them in the secondary. Chiefs need someone now, and Matt Moore is going to be their frontline guy. But if you're going to get someone that can help him out, at least short term, he's your frontline guy because he knows your system.
If you're the Chiefs, do you inquire in Tennessee about Mariota?
Well, there's a guy with another expiring contract that's going to be sent to the bench. Tennessee right now has got to feel like they're not going anywhere. It depends on if you don't have to give up too much. Absolutely, I would.
I mean, just to have some, you know. A guy that's got game experience that, you know, I mean, Moore's a backup. That's what he is.
And he's 15 and 15 lifetime.
Yeah, and Mariota's not great, but at least he has some experience and he can make some plays with his feet. And I feel like the Chiefs offense is going to be okay because you still have guys like Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce. And if you've got some guy that can just figure out how to get them the ball.
Moore showed you that last night.
Yeah, if you can just figure out how to get them the ball, they can make plays for you. And, you know, if they can get any kind of run game going, then I think they'll be fine. So it would be worth the call. I mean, LeSean McCoy is still a productive back. Mm. So it's not like that they're without weapons. I would make the call. I think, you know, for that, it might be worth the risk, especially if Mahomes is going to be slowed or miss more than those three games. But I don't know. Maybe you can ride Matt Moore through, you know, make 2-1, 1-2 through those three games.
I mean, look, do you think that when the Saints lost Drew Brees, that they thought they were going to be undefeated in the time that Teddy Bridgewater took over?
That's true.
And Matt Moore has had some stretches where he looked very good, particularly in Miami, where you look at it and go, hey, all we don't need you to be Patrick Mahomes.
Right.
Just be the game manager you were in the second half the other night, where if a guy's open, look, he made a hell of a touch pass to Tyreek Hill for the touchdown. So you know that he's capable of making NFL throws. Just stay within yourself. Like you said, utilize the resources you're given. And if the defense plays like they played last night, as opposed to how they played for the last three, 4 weeks, especially when you go get a whole new D coordinator, Spagnuolo, and you know you did change some personnel, but you thought they were going to be better on defense, and they've been worse.
Yeah.
I mean, so if your defense can at least hold up, and you utilize your weapons and you're a game manager, the Chiefs' schedule isn't that tough in terms of their division stuff, where you could win some football games.
I tell you, Baltimore is intriguing to me, too, when you talk about threatening the Patriots. And I don't think anybody's really going to threaten the Patriots right. until you get to the playoffs,
mm-hmm.
especially during this regular season because their schedule is so easy. I think they're obviously running away with the East already, and they're going to run away with the AFC in general. But I think Baltimore, with the fact that they can score, that Lamar Jackson knows who he is, and they're figuring out how to win games with him and not relying solely on him to run or solely on his arm. They have a good mix on that offensive side, and they're a good defensive team. They're not great, but they're good. I think they can make some noise. And you know, I mean, look, I'm not discounting the Texans. I just, when it comes to comparing them to these other teams, I just have a hard time buying into the Texans. And they've got some good wins this year, but I still think they're too Jekyll and Hyde. I still think they're too up and too down. Are they gonna regress at all on that offensive line? You know, and then how's Deshaun Watson and the offense gonna handle that? So
I think this weekend's a big test.
And losing Howard for the next four sure. to 6 weeks?
Yeah.
That's who would have thought it?
Was sprained MCL.
The way that they fixed this offensive line now it just got a little worse.
And they were clicking and they hadn't given up a sack for a couple weeks. But here's the thing, I think that this weekend tells you a lot. It may not saying you're a Super Bowl contender, but saying in the AFC, you might be the second best team right now in the AFC, but it starts with winning in a house of horrors for you in a place like Indianapolis where you've never really played well. And so this year right now in the short term has been all about overcoming obstacles of the past. So even when we talked about when you get a drive forced right down your throat against a really good team to start a game and then you turn it over right after that, normally the Texans would fold up their tents and
go
home.
That's a good
point. But they came back and they won the game against the Chiefs. They hung in there and took every punch back and forth with the Saints opening week. You know, they beat Phillip Rivers when they hadn't beaten a quarterback with a high rating like that in the history of Bill O'Brien. They beat Patrick Mahomes. But this is the next step in that whole progression, which is go to a place where you've really played poorly over the years and take a team on in your division that is your number one competition and send another message.
Yeah, it would be a good opportunity. Now, you know, you mentioned the going up there and playing on the road. They're 3-4 in their last four games
on
the
road. But I'm saying, again, very
rare. They've won 3 out of 4.
Different than what they've been in the past. They're winning on the road. Yeah. So this is that season.
Well, let's talk a little bit about the Texans. And this record might be a little fool's gold.
Okay. Sounds good. We'll get to that and a whole lot more coming up next. Don't go anywhere. Much more of The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
Now listen to all your favorite shows on the Amazon Echo.
Oh, sweet, dude.
Just say, Alexa, open ESPN 97.5.
Now playing ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
On ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Rolling through hour number 2, 3-hour show, FEF Friday on The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. It's Barry, Nick, and Joel in the studio to wrap up another splendid week here on The Suspects. As we were getting into some pretty serious football discussion, also a reminder that Sarah Barshop, the beat writer for the Texans for ESPN, joins us as she normally does regularly, 3:30 Fridays. So we have questions for her. She will have answers. Just make sure you stay tuned for that as well as other things. You were checking out some of the conversational items we got digitally.
Are you trying to say texts?
That too. tweets, texts, whatever.
Yeah. So somebody said on the text line, Barry, you're starting to sound like AJ. Hater. What do you need to see to say they are in the mix in the AFC? They went into Arrowhead and beat the Chiefs with Mahomes.
I just hate you, and I hate your ass face.
Yeah, a banged up Mahomes, but you're right. They went on the road. It was a good win. I believe I said as much afterwards this week. I praised them, how fun that was, what a great win that was. I said all those things. Why would you be upset with me that I think that there are other teams that are better in the AFC than the Texans? I put them as one of the four best teams in the AFC. That's half of football's in the AFC, and I said they're one of the four best. That means they're a division winner. What do you – I mean, just because I didn't say that they're going to win the Super Bowl, you're upset? But I'll take it a step further because I mentioned fool's gold going into the break. The Texans' two losses came against teams with winning records. 5-1, the Saints are 5-1, and Panthers. The Panthers are 4-2. And then they just beat the Chiefs, who are 5-2, right? Their other three wins, those teams are 2-4, 2-4, and 1-5. So they have one win against a team with a winning record and two losses against teams with a winning record. They're 1-2 against teams with a winning record, and they're 2-1 against teams that don't have a winning record.
You're such a hater.
I know. Boy, what a hater. Oh, that three of their wins, the combined record for those teams is like...
But Barry, you also have to take into consideration these are the same people.
Hater. These are the Get same out of here people. With your logic, Barry, you hater.
The same people that had the logic of we lost to the Saints by three.
That's the stupidest
Cowboys
thing ever.
Cowboys fans lost to them by more. So
we're
thus,
better
by
than the Cowboys.
Process of Jesus. Elimination, Texans are better than the Cowboys.
Yeah, they're 1-2 against teams with a winning record, and that though those teams combined are 14-5.
Well, as glass half full guy, which I always am, I just want to let you know that I've just told you this
like
is the season here. Of changing everything that has been negative in the past and going in a different direction. And I mentioned some of the all these other things about, you know, beating quarterbacks that had a higher, you know, had a high QB ranking and beating teams after you had the opening drive forced down your throat and then you turned the ball over and doing all the things that they started doing so that they've shown that they've turned a corner. I firmly believe that. I was the first guy to tell you that preseason, I picked them to start the season 1-5. The
I
fact
said
that
one
they're
and six.
Sitting where they are right now.
I said I was surprised.
Pretty damn impressive.
Yeah, very impressive. They're beating teams we didn't think they would beat. They're holding their own against teams we didn't think they'd hold their own, like the Saints.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not suggesting that the Texans are bad. I'm not saying they're awful. They're probably going to win this division. But
you're still a hater, though.
No, let's be real. Mr. Texter, Mr. 2894, are the Texans winning the Super Bowl? Are they getting past the first round of the playoffs? Because that's really, it doesn't matter. What they do in the regular season doesn't matter. Do you think that Texans team is going to advance any further than the first round of the playoffs?
It's like a competition. I mean, what do you call it? A competition trophy? Participation trophy.
Mm-hmm.
It's a participation trophy. So you were the second best team in the AFC. Did you win the AFC? Did you go to the Super Bowl? Did you achieve all your goals and aspirations? Then you start going back to what we've always talked about with the Texans. They kind of rest on their laurels if they win the division. Hey, we won the division. We got in the playoffs. Didn't go all the way we wanted to, but another winning season.
I've been able to just step aside and just watch you two get amped up today.
A lot of amping today.
I'm the only level-headed one on this show today.
At least you said today.
I'm not suggesting that the Texans aren't good. They're really good defensively, and they're really getting better offensively. I shouldn't say they're really good defensively. They're good defensively.
Secondary's not.
That's true.
No.
And I'm trying to look up.
Where you got him, Nick? Well, Barry can look that up. Where you got him? Because I didn't ask you this yet. But you know, I asked Barry, so if the Patriots are the cream of the crop in the AFC, what's your order of teams as the best runner-up to the Patriots right now?
With Mahomes out, right?
You can do it with Mahomes healthy after the Texans did what we didn't think they could do, and they beat the Chiefs in Kansas City.
Yeah, I mean... For me, I really like the Ravens now, despite the fact that I've never been a big fan of Flacco. But he's won a Super Bowl before.
He's in Denver. You're talking about Jackson.
Lamar Jackson. Yeah, I like the Ravens. I think that's a team you can be careful about. I think I don't think the Texans are a team that you're going to be particularly scared of. I tend to agree with Barry.
God, offensively, are they
gonna
you don't think teams are going to be scared of them?
What are you going to, if you get past, and if they do get past the first round in the playoffs, is that a successful season for you guys? Somewhat, maybe.
I mean, it kind of has to be.
Yeah.
I mean, if they win a playoff game, to me, it's nothing less.
That's successful.
It's progress.
You win one playoff game. To me, I can't expect anything less than at least a 1-win playoff game, right?
Right.
So, I don't know. It's hard for me to tell.
I think teams would be scared to play Houston in a playoff game other than New England because they know they've also had the Texans' number. And they more than likely they'd be playing the game at home. But if you look at that offense, and we talked about this, I mean, find me a better receiving core than what they have right now with the four guys that they run out there. And the fact that the running back, which could have been a disaster for that position this year, instead has been better than average. And you've got a guy that's an MVP candidate that right now with Mahomes out now becomes, along with Russell Wilson, one of the top two candidates for MVP that can do so much back there both with his legs and his arm.
If they played the playoffs right now, the Texans would face the Raiders at home.
It's a win.
Yeah. Then that's good. Successful season. And then they would probably go on to play either the Patriots or the Chiefs. Not a win. In the playoffs.
I'll tell you this. The
look
biggest,
at their track record. The Ravens would play the Bills. Now, if
you were high on the Ravens early on, we were. I felt like Joel and I weren't.
No, right. I'm not a big advocate of the Ravens still.
But if let's just say that flipped and the Texans end up getting the 4 seed and have to play the Bills or the Bills and the Raiders flip, I'm not so sure that the Texans beat the Bills in the first round of the playoffs. Bills, that's a good football team.
Here's also what I was going to say. It's one thing to be Kansas City in Kansas City in October. Try playing Kansas City in the playoffs in December when it's cold and it's snowy and it's nasty and you play indoors and you don't even bother to open the roof up at your home games and you barely sniff temperatures under 40. And now you're going to go on the road just like you've had to do when you played New England in the snow. You're going to have to play Kansas City in the snow. If Buffalo keeps doing with smoke and mirrors what they're doing, God forbid you got to go to Orchard Park. You got to go to Buffalo and you got to play a game in December because you are in trouble.
Yeah.
See, I'm more,
y'all
I'm more
are haters. Y'all
no,
are
you just
haters.
Gotta. That means this is another reason why I go back to my point of try to make a move now to make sure you save what's already been a depleted secondary. Because if you don't have home field against those teams, you're already
that's a good point.
Underdogs,
yeah,
big time.
That's a good point.
So that's something to consider as you see how the playoffs are going to stack up in the AFC. Because
Can I give one bit of credit to the Texans?
Well, I think you should actually.
When I pulled up the playoff right now, it shows strength of schedule. Texans have played, of the four division winners right now, the Texans have the hardest strength of schedule, followed by .001 by the Chiefs. So the Chiefs have also played a very difficult schedule, and they're 5-2. It's no surprise the Patriots have the easiest schedule of anybody in the playoffs, hell, of anybody in the NFL, to be honest with you.
Look, the perfect situation, if you want to stay positive about the Houston Texans, is that Bill O'Brien is learning. He's just a slow learner. And now this might be finally a year or the next 2 years where you really start to see an upwards,
upward tick. But here's the problem. In doing so, in getting that revelation, in being able to see clearly now, he mortgaged the future. So now, instead of using the draft as a tool to continue to build and grow and get better, now you are forced to look into free agency. And in a lot of cases, overpay to get players because of the fact that your ability to use your draft picks, at least in the short term, is out the window.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Jason Abraham on Twitter said, losing to a Kyle Allen-led Panthers team is why it's hard for me to believe in the Texans.
Good point.
Yep.
Yeah, you lost to the Panthers, which is saying one thing. Although, there's a school of thought that says the Panthers are a better football team with Kyle Allen at quarterback. Because now, instead of a quarterback trying to do it all and try to be something that he's not, you're getting the ball in the hands of the people that need it the most, like Christian McCaffrey.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, that's a good point.
That's another way to look at that, too. So we got 2 hours in the books. We're rolling through the show. We still got an hour to go. And, of course, we've got Game 5 from the Bronx coming up tonight. Got news for you guys and a lineup change. Yankee fans are giddy about it. I don't think we're going to be too scared. But we'll talk about it next as we get into the final hour of the show. It's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
Home for sports is ESPN 97.5.